Christmas truly is about the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you have already enjoyed time with your families this morning. I hope that you have other times planned later in the day. But you know, as important as all that is, as we come to focus this morning, that Christmas is really about the child that grew to be the man that died on the cross. And when we understand that, we begin to develop the meaning of what it really is about. In Isaiah chapter 9, we find a prophecy that came to us that should speak to us concerning the truth of Christmas, giving us a good understanding of why we're here today and what it's all about. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let us pray. Father God, we do come before you this morning. How grateful we are for the day that you've given. And we just pray now in the next few moments that you'll speak to our hearts and our minds. Give us insight, give us understanding to your word and your will. Father, in a crowd this size, we know there's those that do not know you as Savior. And we just pray today you'll speak to that heart, draw that one to yourself. Father, maybe the one here that's hurting, that, Father, they just lost the meaning of Christmas. We just pray that you'll just bring comfort to that one. Be glorified, be honored in our worship, we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, Larry King, the host of Larry King Live on CNN, was asked. He's, as many of you might know, Larry King is one of the more famous interviewers that has existed in recent history. It's one of the things that someone finally asked him in an interview of him. They said, what one person on earth, what one person that has ever lived in history, if you could go back at any point in time and you could pick one person that has ever lived to interview, who would that person be? Without hesitation, without any thought whatsoever, he said, Jesus Christ. You say, well, wouldn't most people? You need to understand, he's an atheist, agnostic at best. He doesn't believe in Christ. He doesn't believe in heaven. He doesn't believe in hell. He doesn't believe in eternity. But yet his answer was, the one person I would want to interview would be Jesus Christ. And they sat there for a moment and they said, well, what one question do you think you would ask him? The most amazing thing that came out of that interview, he said, he looked the interviewer in the eye, and again, without a hesitation, he said, I would ask him if he was indeed virgin born. The interviewer sat there and never said a word, and he responded before anything else could be said. Larry King simply said this. He said, you see, if indeed Jesus Christ was virgin born, then that changes everything. That changes history. That changes my view of it all. You see, today, indeed, we celebrate and we worship the virgin born Savior. The one that was promised, the one that was assured, the one that we know today our salvation was secured by. And because he indeed changed history. You see, it really doesn't matter to me if the atheist or the agnostic or the world rejects the virgin-born Savior. I know he has redeemed me. I know he has redeemed many of you. And I know, as the song so beautifully said a moment ago, there will be a morning that he will call us home. And as we rejoice in that today, we need to understand the importance of that. It seems fitting today on this Christmas morning as we come together to worship to ask the question, what child is this? And to resolve that in our mind. You see, it's not enough for us just to sit back and say, well, Jesus is the Son of God. It's not enough for us just to sit back and say, well, Jesus was a great prophet. You see, a lot of these statements can be made. The problem is a lot of different world religions make the exact same statements. For instance, the Muslims, the ones that we know are false. We know that they don't have a clear understanding. They don't understand who God is. They don't understand salvation. But yet, if you ask a Muslim about Jesus Christ, you know what he'll tell you? Yeah, he was virgin born and he was a great prophet. The problem is they don't understand him as the Redeemer and the Savior. If you ask many Jewish people today and you'll ask them about Jesus Christ, they'll agree that a man named Jesus existed. You see, if you go and you look at the historical evidence, I'm not even talking about Christian evidence, I'm talking about secular evidence. You can't deny that a man named Jesus Christ lived. You can't deny that he indeed was executed. You can't deny many of the facts the scriptures teach us about Christ. So they won't deny his existence. But yet, as we look at them, they'll say, oh, well, he was a great teacher, but he was just a martyr. We go to the Hindu faith, and you know the Hindus will actually say that Jesus Christ was a self-realized saint who reached the highest level of God consciousness. You go to Buddhism, and the Buddhist will say he was perfectly enlightened, he was full of compassion, a man who helped many people. You see, the problem is we can talk about all these definitions and we can talk about what all the world religions say about him, but in reality, none of them have the understanding of the virgin-born Christ that went to the cross. So today we want to spend just a few moments explaining or dealing with this. You see, as we read these verses, there's a couple of truths that should jump out at us about who Christ is. There's some truths that should jump out at us today as we celebrate and as we worship the Savior. First of all, in this child, we see God's mercy. We see God's mercy. I want you to notice a couple of things in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We find two different statements there that begin to define for us and give us clear understanding of who this child was. First of all, notice what it says, unto us a child is born. You see, that speaks of the humanity of Christ. One of the things, or the thing, that separates Christianity from any other world religion and defines us as we stop and we look at this is the reality that we believe, know, and understand based on the authority of Scripture that Christ was all man and he was all God. While he did indeed come to this earth, born of a virgin, lived as a man, he never gave up his deity. He never gave up his godhood. And so as we look at this, he's identified as a man. It tells us that a child is born. You see, when we stop and we read those words, we understand that this is the celebration of the fact that Jesus Christ came in flesh. Jesus Christ came and he lived as us, as a man. He lived like us, but yet he knew no sin, that he might be the redemption for our sin. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Unto us a child is born. We find a wonderful truth in that. But I want you to notice the second part of that verse, because it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now we find a clear distinction here. In his humanity, he was born. In his deity, he was given. He was not born. He was not created. He has always been. He is the eternal God. And so we find that, and Isaiah very clearly lays that out for us. As a child, he was born of woman. As the Son of God, he was given to us to be the propitiation, the payment for our sin. This is exactly what John 3:16 tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So as we look at this today and we understand this wonderful truth out of Scripture and we see what he has told us, in this child we see the very mercy of God. We see the reality that like us he became a man, that he might live, that he might die for us, that he might rise again and ascend to the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. We see his humanity, but we also see his divinity today. We know he never divested himself of that. He never quit being God. One of the things that absolutely amazes me is how people reach and stretch and try to find a way to explain away the deity of Jesus Christ. They try to explain away the fact of how could God himself hang on a cross and die for our sins. They struggle with that. They try to make all kinds of assumptions. But if we just read and accept the Word of God, we understand without that there would have been no forgiveness of sin. What a wonderful promise in the Word of God. And Isaiah lays this out for us, and he points out to us, this child was born, but the Son was given that we might have salvation. Well, let me show you another truth in our text today. And with this child, we share in God's grace. We share in the wonderful grace that God has given us. Now, as we read through these next areas of Scripture, we're going to find five words that define for us who Christ is, that define for us what Christ does for us as believers in Him and as we place our faith in Him. And there's several things that we could point out, but let me just point out a few of them to you this morning. First of all, for the hurting, He is wonderful. And He is Counselor. As it tells us here in these verses, that the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And when we stop and we think about this title, Wonderful and Counselor, then we understand that He is there for us. He can do for us what no one else can do for us. You know, I read a statistic not long ago that there are somewhere around 27,000 licensed psychiatrists and psychologists in the United States of America alone. Now, that's not counting biblical counselors and other counselors and things. These are licensed psychiatrists and psychologists that we can find. We understand in our world today, there are so many people looking for answers. There are so many people that are hurting. There are so many people that are distraught. There are so many people that have become totally disconnected. And so we understand. Now, I do not knock that profession, and I do not even pretend to say it's not a necessary profession. So don't walk out of here and misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I'm telling you today is that demonstrates for you how people are hurting, what people are reaching for, what they're trying to find, what they're trying to connect to. And as we stop and we look at that, we need to understand the point of what He tells us. He is the wonderful, and He is the Counselor. The greatest counselor that has ever been given is the Son of God. The greatest counsel that we can ever find is in the Word of God. And so He gives us this. And so today, for the hurting, if you're here and you're feeling disconnected, you're feeling like you're missing, you're feeling like something's not there, let me urge you to know that this child that was given, He's there for the hurting. He's wonderful. He's the Counselor. He can give you what this world cannot give you. What wonderful news. Now, I've already made mention of it, but I just want to remind you again, as I said, the Word of God gives us the counsel that nothing else can. And take all of these new smartphones and these new pads that you've gotten for Christmas and you will get and all these things and go to that Bible app. Take that YouVersion app and put that on your phone. And there's so many reading plans and so much. You've got the Word of God with you. And I promise you, if you want to make a difference, that is what will make the difference, what He has done for us. For the hurting, He's wonderful and He's Counselor. For the hopeless, He's the Mighty God. Notice what it tells us as he uses that name, Mighty God. You see, as wonderful and Counselor, He can tell you what is right. But as we all know, telling us what is right and giving us the ability to do what is right is not always the same. As we raise our children, we know that. We tell them and we tell them and we tell them, but they don't always do what's right. But notice as he follows up with, I'm wonderful counselor, I'm going to tell you what is right, but I'm also mighty God, I'm going to give you the ability to do what is right. What great news that is in the Word of God. He can empower us. He can strengthen us. He can take us in the direction that we need to go. He can give us wisdom that is beyond our wisdom, ability that is beyond our ability, and understanding that is beyond our understanding. He is the Mighty God, the one we find comfort in, the one we find assurance in, and we find our confidence in. So today as we stop and we think about this little baby and we think about what this day is and we think about the Savior that we have, what wonderful news that is, that we don't leave Him in that cradle. There's so many people today and so many people in our world that will celebrate Christ because they want to talk about a baby in a cradle. But we've said this so many times, it's not the little baby in the cradle, just as we're sitting here in our sanctuary and we have the little baby in the cradle, but look directly above me and you see the cross. Well, I promise you, in that morning in Bethlehem, that's exactly what took place. There may have been a little baby in the cradle, but his whole vision was on the cross that he was headed to. He's the Mighty God that prepared the path, that made the way for our salvation. Today we find confidence in that. We find assurance in that. What a great, wonderful day that we celebrate. I'll tell you right now, if Christmas was all about a baby and that's where it stopped, I just don't know there'd be a lot of celebration there. But when we stop and we understand that it's not about a baby, it's about a cross, it's about a Redeemer. What wonderful news that is. For the hopeless, He's the mighty God. And then we stop and we understand for the helpless, He's the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father. The phrase everlasting Father literally translates Father of eternity. You see, when we stop today and we realize that He is the eternal God, He's not a created God. He's not a God that was made in our image. He's not a God that we brought about. It's amazing to me if you read some of the atheistic literature and arguments that will take place and some of these arguments they make. The atheists will make this assertion. They will say that God created, that man rather created God in His own image. You see, we stop and we realize today the world tries to explain away and do away with. We didn't create God in our image. God created us in His image. And we know and we understand that today. For the helpless in this world, He's the everlasting Father. He is the eternal one. The Bible tells us in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. What facts and what truth we find in His Word. The book of Revelation tells us He's the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You see, He's the Father of eternity. Today when we stop and we think about that little baby and we stop and we think about that first Christmas morning, what a wonderful, wonderful promise in God's Word. I find my assurance, I find my confidence in the very fact, in the understanding that I serve the everlasting God. I serve the everlasting Father. If you've ever had a class in world religions, maybe in college, or if you've ever taken maybe a personal opportunity to study world religions, or you've ever taken time to study out Greek mythology and look at the follow of this. I had both those kinds of classes in college. And you know, one of the things that amazes me most, especially with the mythology argument, and I stop and I think about serving a God that may or may not be defeated tomorrow. Now, that is what always amazed me when I looked at, especially the Greek mythology, and followed that out. Serving a God that was vengeful. Serving a God that would want to seek revenge on people. And a God that could just, on a whim and out of frustration or aggravation, just destroy us all. And if that wasn't bad enough, I would have to worry about some other God somewhere coming and beating up my God. What a horrible way to live. But I serve the everlasting Father. I serve the one that is eternal. I serve the one that I don't have to worry about that. You see, today that's that little baby that we celebrate today, the everlasting Father. And for the heartbroken, He's the Prince of Peace. I want you to notice that He gives us this title, the Prince of Peace. And then it says there will be no end upon there will be no end upon the throne of David and over His kingdom. He's the Prince of Peace. You see, people in this world today are using drugs, they're using alcohol, they're using every form of immoral behavior you can possibly imagine, trying to find some kind of peace in their life, and everything they're doing and everywhere they're headed is a dead end. He's the Prince of Peace. And if you're going to have peace today, you're going to find it in Him and Him alone. Today, I pray that you will find that. The Bible tells us in John 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, this world gives and takes. Christ says, I don't give peace like the world gives. What I give you, I give you, and you can depend on it. Let me give you a third fact very quickly, and that is from this child we seek God's kingdom. Verse 7 says, "Of the increase of His government and His peace there will be no end." Today we understand the kingdom of God awaits us. Today we understand the promise, the truth, the assurance of that kingdom, and we find our confidence in that kingdom. The sad truth, though, is everyone under the sound of my voice today will not understand or realize that kingdom. There will be some that are here today because this is what you do. There are some here today because this is where parents said go. There are some here today because it's just a tradition for you. You go to church. I mean, that's what you do. But do you realize today that it's not about tradition? It's not about because that's what you do. It's truly about the kingdom of God. It's about the price he paid for us. It's about the sacrifice he made. It's about the redemption that he's given. And so today when we stop and we think about that, we understand the promise that he's given us. So today as we leave here in just a moment, we go back to our homes and we begin to celebrate the Christmas day. Let me just ask you to remember and maybe to discuss, and especially with small children, remind them of God's mercy. Remind them that that little child that we celebrate brought mercy. Remind them of God's grace, that absent him, we do not understand nor know the grace that we have. And then help them seek God's kingdom and know his salvation. Absolutely nothing is more vital or more important than teaching our children the importance of the kingdom of God. I want us to bow our heads for just a moment this morning.